May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Thank you. Our reading from God's Word is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel recorded by John. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in my hand his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Gracious, eternal Lord God, as thou didst come into the midst of thy gathered disciples and say unto them, Peace be unto you, and favoured them with a glimpse of thy wounds, so this day we plead that thou wouldst come into the midst of this sanctuary of God, and by faith may we hear thy voice bestowing peace, pardon and liberty. May we see the wounds of Jesus for our sin. And may we be glad when we see the Lord. As thou didst draw near to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, so now draw near unto us and reveal thyself in thy word. Grant unto us the heart of faith to worship thee, to love thee, to adore thee, to bow at thy feet, and crown thee our sovereign Lord and King. Give us, Lord, that same faith that Thomas was given, which triumphed over his unbelief. And may we, by faith, that same faith this day, be able to say, My Lord and my God. Give us, gracious God, then that spirit of worship, of adoration, of praise. Help us to bring glory and honor to thy holy name. To crown thee, Lord of all. Give us, Lord, the feet of faith to run in the way of thy commandments, to walk with God, to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Give us the eye of faith to behold Jesus and find him to be most precious, the greatest treasure we can possess. Give us, Lord, the ear of faith to hear thy voice and recognize it as such, and to love thy word and to find it manna from heaven and the water of life. And then, Lord, give us the fruits of faith, the fruits of thy Holy Spirit within, love to thee and thy people and thy word, humility, grace, forbearance, forgiveness. Make us more resemble thee. Help us, Lord Jesus, to follow thee as closely as we can. Come then, Lord Jesus, and breathe upon thy word this day, and grant that this may be a day of great blessing, and tomorrow also, as thy people gather to remember thy mercy over 150 years. We pray, Lord, that thy presence may draw near on that occasion, and that thou wouldst prepare thy servant to preach Christ and prepare the people to hear of Christ. And Lord, may today and tomorrow be days of blessing poured out from on high, days when thy presence is peculiarly and nearly known. Could it please thee, Lord, today and tomorrow, that some of thy lambs may be born into life long, that in some hearts the root of faith is planted. We pray, Lord, for this house of prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to watch over them and be with them. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done for them, the encouragements thou hast granted to them. We ask thee, Lord, to continue. Bless, we pray, the ministry of thy word here, and make this, Lord, a watered garden. Make this, Lord, a fruitful garden. Make this place a blessed, hallowed spot. We believe, Lord, it has been. May it continue to be so, even down to the very end of time. Keep out Satan and the little foxes that would spoil the vines. And grant, Lord, that this may be a united, praying, humble people, walking together, delighting to tell of what Christ is to them and what he's done for them. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst gather in others to worship here, whom thou wilt save by thy grace. And we pray, Lord, for each one who is found here, and any absent, Lord, for whatever reason, be with them. But Lord, we pray for this people in their various needs and concerns. Some, Lord, have heavy sorrows and bereavements and trials to walk in. Some, Lord, are in joy and success. Some, Lord, are in the full assurance of faith. And others, Lord, are doubting whether they've got any faith at all. Some, Lord, need thee to direct them in the paths which thou would have them to go. Some, Lord, have received that direction, and now they need thy grace and thy help to walk in thy way. Lord, whatever thy people here need this day, suit the word to the various cases, we pray. Speak a word to each one. And grant, gracious God, that thy richest blessing may be bestowed. May we be able to say it is good for us to be here. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies. Lord, thou dost lay in each one of us with mercies day by day, which we do not deserve, which we cannot count. We thank thee for them. We are not worthy, said Jacob, of the least of them, and how true it is. Help us, Lord, to be truly grateful to thee day by day for the mercies that thou dost show unto us. Above all, give to each one of us here the mercies which flow from Calvary. Those eternal mercies that thou wilt never take from us once given. For one day, Lord, thy providential mercies will end forever. Lord, give us a better religion than mere providence. Grant unto us each the riches of thy sovereign grace. So we ask thy blessing upon the young, upon the middle-aged, and upon the those in the evening time of life. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst remember thy church this day as it meets up and down our land and throughout the whole world. Wherever thy disciples are meeting, do draw near and stand in the midst. Help thy servants to preach the word of God, to exalt a precious Christ, and to point sinners to the Lamb of God, and help each to hear thy word. Remember, we pray, our nation in this time, Lord, of political uncertainty and upheaval. We ask thee, Lord, to draw near and to rule and overrule in the councils of government for thy glory and for the good of thy people. We ask thee to call by grace those in authority, to put thy fear in their hearts and to give them wisdom, to know what to do and to do it. We ask thee, Lord, to raise up in our government, in our royal house, in our national church, thy people who will be listened and have an influence. We ask, Lord, that there may yet be better days in this nation. Stem the tide of sin, we pray, and turn back the iniquity, and disappoint Satan. And may we live to see days when thy word is again restored and honored and obeyed. And Lord, stem the tide of iniquity in our own hearts. For Lord, we are each sinners. And each one of us in this nation needs thy mercy and needs thy forgiveness. Lord, have mercy upon us Have mercy upon our fellow countrymen. And grant, Lord, that there may be days of revival, days that we have never seen. Days when causes are established because of the hunger and thirst after righteousness. Days when thy causes are built up instead of brought down and diminished. Days of the Son of Man upon the earth. We ask thee, Lord, to bless the labours of the Sabbath school this afternoon. And grant, Lord, that there may be a seed sown then which will abide in the hearts of those who hear it while they remain upon this earth. May it bring forth a copious harvest in time to come. And now, Lord, we ask that thou wouldst come. And manifest thy favour. By thy own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By the shining of thy Spirit, raise us to thy glorious throne. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide. Hymn 904.
seeking the Lord's help. I ask your attention to the Gospel recorded by John, chapter 20, verses 15 to 18. John chapter 20, verses 15 to 18. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Here we have the first recorded words of the risen Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And of all the millions of people, there is precious saints down through the ages since his death, that he has spoken to by faith. The first one he was favoured to visit was Mary Magdalene. Now Mary Magdalene was a great sinner. A sinner saved by grace. Before her call by grace, we are told that she was possessed of seven devils. She was a total slave to Satan. To sin. She lived a life of depravity and of disgrace. And had we met her in that condition, we would never have believed that this character would be the first one that the Lord Jesus would speak to. Poor sinner this morning, who the devil has said to you, you're too bad for Jesus to take any notice of. Are you really worse than Mary Magdalene was in those days? Yes, you may be possessed of the devil, but so was she. Completely possessed. And yet we see in her case what almighty love can do. What the power of God can do. Sovereign grace. and sovereign mercy. She never sought after Jesus, but he sought after her. She did not love Jesus, but he loved her and made her love him. And is not that the case in every child of God? By nature, we do not seek after God. By nature, we do not want to be delivered from our sin. We are quite happy with the life of sin. By nature, we do not want to know Jesus. We do not want to change masters. But by the sovereign power of the Holy Ghost, that change is made. The appointed time rolls on apace. Not to propose, but call by grace. To change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And if there was one thing which is marked in the case of Mary Magdalene following her conversion and her deliverance from the oppression of Satan, it is her love and her gratitude to the Saviour. How she loved to be near him, how she loved to hear him speak, how she loved to minister to his needs. Mary Magdalene loyally stood by at the cross of Jesus. Even when the other disciples had gone, she stayed. Even after his death, she stayed at the cross. She was the last to leave that cross. She followed him to his tomb. The last to leave his tomb that Friday evening. And the first to be there on the first day of the week. She was forgiven much and she loved much. And here we find her in this garden in deep distress. We cannot really rightly conceive or perhaps understand the darkness and the sorrow and the grief of those disciples and those followers of Jesus in those days between the death of Christ and his resurrection. And no doubt Satan was not slow to tell them that they'd been deceived, that they'd been wrong all along. None of them had expected Jesus to be arrested and crucified. They had expected him to set up an earthly kingdom. And now, where were all those expectations? It seemed they were dead and buried. Here we find Mary, heartbroken with sorrow at the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then again, Mary Magdalene and the other Marys, they showed great love to the Lord and great faith. We read the accounts, but you know, it's one thing to read them, it's another thing to live through them. Have you ever considered what those women were doing? They were defying the direct decree of Pontius Pilate, who had decreed that no one was to interfere with that grave. They were facing possible arrest and imprisonment and pain. They were facing, as they thought, armed guards who were well able and ready and willing to defend that tomb from anyone disturbing it. They were facing a stone which was too heavy for them to roll away. Natural reason would say you might just as well have stayed at home, because these obstacles are too impossible to be overcome. But they still ventured. Is one of you, or maybe more, this morning you have an exercise about a matter, and all you can see are the obstacles, and they are too hard for you. And unbelief says you might just as well stay at home and not bother, because it will all come to nothing. Here is the word of your master this morning. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. Not stay at home, not stand still, not go back, go on. You say it is impossible. With you, it is impossible. And God intends you to see that with you, it is impossible. Because if it was possible for you to roll away the stone, which has suddenly and unexpectedly come in your path, if it was possible for you to disarm these soldiers that are surrounding you, who are armed and are full of malice toward you and opposition, and who are far more skilled at you than you in the attack and battle, if you could overcome them in your own strength, you would think the glory belonged to you. You wouldn't be on your knees praying. But that's not the way of faith. That's not the way God intends you to live. And God has brought you into this particular spot to bring you to the end of everything in yourself. To bring you to the end of all your hopes and reliances upon others. And now you've got only one option. God. But God is still there. God is still reigning. God is still in control. These women did not have to handle one of these obstacles themselves, did they? They all were dealt with as they ventured. And God honors venturing faith. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to venture on his mighty name. Yes, it would be easier if you could see how all was going to be right. But God doesn't intend that. Again, that's not the way of faith. The way of faith is this, leaning upon your beloved Lord. And how are you going to do that? In prayer. And so as you venture, tell him your needs one by one. And ask him to supply them, and he will. Don't tell him how to supply them. You just tell him your needs. You leave him to supply them, and he will. He did here, and he still does. Mary's God still lives. Mary's God still reigns. Mary's God still protects his people. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And here we have Mary. And she cannot find the body of Jesus. Instead, she sees two angels. And they ask her this question, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. He was still her Lord, even though she could not understand his dealings. These angels couldn't satisfy her. They couldn't comfort her. It was Jesus she was after. And nothing else would satisfy. Beloved friend, seek a religion which will not be satisfied with anything short than Jesus Christ speaking to you. Revealing himself to you. How many would have been satisfied at meeting angels? And of them speaking, not Mary. Now, of course, sometimes it is the Lord's will, as we've read in Scripture, when he sends angels to his people with a message from the King. But on this occasion, Jesus himself intended to comfort Mary face to face. And so she turns herself back, having satisfied herself that Jesus was not there. She has to seek him elsewhere. And is that one of the reasons why some of you have not yet found him? Are you seeking in the right place? There was another question asked this day of the other women. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You aren't going to find Christ in the world. Worldly pursuits, worldly company, and worldly entertainments. And it mustn't surprise you. If when you interact with the world, they think nothing of Christ. They scorn his word. They despise his commandments. You won't find Christ there. Where are you going to find him? On your knees in prayer. Where are you going to find him? In the Word of God. He reveals himself through the book. Here, his precious book, the Word of God. Where are you going to find him? Under the preaching of the Word of God. If you are seeking after Christ, seek to be found under the preaching of the Word of God as much as you can. If you are seeking after Christ, seek to be reading the Word of God as much as you can, prayerfully. We have to seek him in the right place. And then again, Jesus is a sovereign in this. How often do you come to the house of God seeking, but you do not find him? How often do you open the Word of God prayerfully, and yet you do not hear him speak? You see, he's a sovereign. He will speak to you when he wills it to be so. He will reveal himself in his own good time to teach you to prize his visits, to teach you that you do not deserve them, to teach you not to take them for granted. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Why weepest thou? Tell Jesus what causes your grief this morning, your sorrow, your distress. Tell him your disappointments. Tell him your sorrows. Tell him your earthly cares, as well as your cares for your soul. He will hear them. He will not despise them or be displeased. It is not wrong to tell him of your providential needs. Tell him the burdens in your family, or in your career, in your business. Tell him of those sins that make you sigh. Tell him of how you are longing for his presence. Tell him how you remember past visits with joy and would like a repeat of those visits. Tell him of how you mourn your lack of fruitfulness and how small your faith is, and ask him to increase them. Ask him to give you more of his Holy Spirit dwelling within you, for that is the only way you will bear forth fruit. Why weepest thou? Tell him it all. Whom seekest thou? Here is a searching question. Whom seekest thou? Why did you come to the house of God this morning? Did you just come because it was tradition? Did you just come because God commanded you to do so, right though that is? Did you come because it's expected of you, of others? Did you come because you were told to come by your parents? Did you come to see others? How many came into the house of God this morning? Seeking Jesus. Because, beloved friends, first and foremost, that is the reason we should come to the house of God, to seek for Jesus, to desire his company, to hear his voice, to see him by faith. You ever come like that? If you've got any life at all, there will have been times when you've come like that. If you've never come seeking Jesus, I doubt if you have got any life in your soul at all. Because, beloved friends, this is what real religion is. It is seeking Jesus. And you won't seek in vain. Mary didn't. Whom seekest thou? And then this word seek here, it goes even deeper than what is on the surface. I always thought that this word seek here meant searching for someone or something. Well, yes, it does mean that. But if you go into the original Greek, it means something else as well. It means worship. So, did you come to worship God this morning? Only true seekers worship God. In one sense, seeking and worshiping are the same thing. Worship is giving God the praise and honor and glory that is due to his holy name. And it glorifies him and honors him when we seek his presence. Worship is seeking his will. Worship is praising his holy name and thanking him for all his mercies and his benefits. Worship is seeking to follow him and to honor him in our lives. Worship is a desire and a delight and a love to hear his voice spoken of. And to, more than that, to hear his voice speaking to you. Worship is a love to hear of Jesus and what he has done for poor sinners in living and dying for them upon that cross, the only hope of our salvation. If you never seek Jesus upon earth, if you never worship Jesus on earth, you will never find and worship him in heaven. Remember that. Whom seekest thou? Let that question often be asked of us. And not just on the Lord's Day, but what about in the week? If our souls are healthy, we'll seek Jesus every day, not just on the Lord's Day. Is it a good week to you if he speaks to you on the Lord's Day and yet is silent in the week? If he's present with you on the Lord's Day and then absent in the week, isn't there something wrong? If we are spiritually in good health, we will seek Jesus' company every day. Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him. Let's pause here. Now here Mary made a mistake. This was Jesus, her master, her Lord, her Saviour, her Redeemer, her Friend. She did not know it was Jesus. He withheld from her the knowledge at this moment who he really was. And he often did that to his immediate followers, and the reason was they had to learn by faith now, not by sight. They had to know him. And so she supposed him to be the gardener. It was early, and it's not a unreasonable thought to consider that the gardener would be up early to tend the plants and the soil. So she asked him this question, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She tells him honestly what she intended to do, but let us, for once, follow a believer in what was a mistaken path. Because, you know, in a spiritual sense, Jesus can be described as the gardener. The gardener of his church, and there's a precious theme here, this precious vein of treasure, if God reveal it to us. Supposing him to be the gardener, the Song of Solomon refers to the church as a garden. There are many illustrations of Christ in the church, aren't there? The shepherd and the sheep is one. The church, the vine and the branches are another. Here we have another, the garden. Song of Solomon speaks of that garden fenced around by the love of God. And Almighty God, in his loving sovereignty, has a garden. And in this garden, he has planted every one of his plants and his trees and his herbs. And just like a normal gardener, naturally upon earth, exercising their right over the patch of ground which they own, decide what is going to be grown in the garden. So God Almighty has sovereignly decided and chosen who would be favoured from lost mankind to be privileged to be in this garden. Just like a natural gardener has to go where the seeds and the trees and the herbs are, and pay the full price for them. And only when the full price is paid do they become his. And then he has the right to take them back and plant them in their allotted, appointed place. So this gardener has paid the full price for each and every one of his plants. That price was his heart's blood upon the cross at Calvary. That price was a price of suffering and misery and loneliness and distress. That price was a price that we deserved. Even the almighty wrath of an almighty offended God. If we are favored to be a part of this garden, Jesus has paid in full that price. The wrath of offended justice. Which we had merited by our disobedience to the will of God. And then, having paid the price, Jesus, with his own hand, has taken each plant and planted them in their appointed place. And Jesus himself said to his disciples and to the Pharisees and the scribes on one occasion, "Every plant which my Father have not planted shall be rooted up." In one sense, by coming to the house of God, we are all plants. But if you are not planted by the Holy Ghost, if faith is not implanted in your heart, if you are never led by that precious faith to flee to Jesus, then you will be rooted up in the day of judgment and you will be burned with unquenchable fire. It was a question here: are we one of the Lord's plantings, or are we only a weed? Or a tear that will be destroyed, as sure and certain as the plants will be preserved? Which are you and which are me? It's one or the other. But then again, just as a natural gardener will plant his plants that he has planted in the place appointed, so this precious heavenly gardener plants each of his plants in their allotted place. And being the best of gardeners, he knows where you should be, where it is best for you. Some plants cannot tolerate the full shining of the sun. And they have to be planted in the shade, so they don't get as much of the sun as those that are planted where there is no shade. Other plants need the full sun to thrive. And a gardener who knows and is an expert will know exactly where to plant a plant, so it doesn't do it harm. So it brings forth the best fruit or the best flowers. And so Jesus knows exactly, believer, where you should be. And you may this morning mourn that you do not know much of the sun. But your gardener knows best where you should be at this moment in time. He knows what he's doing. It's for his own glory and for your good. Then again, you may say, but I'm so often cast down. I am so often hanging my head. I cannot look up. Are not some of the natural flowers upon this earth more beautiful because they only hang their heads? And it may be that you bring more beauty to your Saviour by being more often at that point where you have to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Where you have to cry, Lord, save me. Lord, remember me. Rather than being in the full assurance of faith. But do you know something? You are as much as precious to the gardener as you bow your head as that tall tree which stands straight and tall and which you admire so much and wish you were more like. You are under the same care. The gardener waters you with the same water. He watches over you with the same care and concern as he does that tall tree. And be content. It's a blessing and a high privilege just to be in this garden. Even though you might not be in the most favoured spot to your liking, you're under his care. He has separated you from the world. Therefore, thank him. You have no cause to complain. And then again, as he is a good gardener, there are going to be times when he's going to prune you. And you're going to lose much. And it's for your good. So that you may bring forth more fruit and more growth. I remember one of the Lord's servants telling me once that he brought a rose bush. And on one occasion he got in the help of a professional gardener to help him with his garden. And this gardener cut this rose almost right back to the root. And he was concerned that he'd killed it. What was he doing? He said, don't worry. He said, it will bloom twice as better next year as it did this year for being cut right back. They need to be cut right back if they're to grow better. And he watched with trepidation, but the following year he proved it true. It was a better plant in its flowering the next year. It was more healthier for being cut back, and yet he wondered if it was dead when it was cut back. And so, believer, there are times when you're cut back, aren't you? Almost to the roots, and you lose much. But you don't lose the root. You don't lose the life. All you lose is that which is dead. That which was fleshly. That which was never of the Spirit of God. He'll never cut back his own fruits. He'll preserve that. He'll preserve the life of faith within. But so often intermingled is our sin, isn't it? Our pride. We think we're doing way well and we think it's our own doing, and the Lord will not have that, so he'll cut you back. He'll bring you back to being a little person. He'll bring you back to being poor and needy. He'll bring you back to realize who your dependence relies on, from where your fruit is found. It's necessary for it. But fear not, this morning you who have been cut right back, he's not cutting you down. He's not cutting you off. He is cutting you back for your good and for his honour and glory. And there is the promise that there will be that growth in grace. That growth in life. that there will be more fruit. The time has gone, so I must close this morning. Supposing him to be the gardener, child of God, with Jesus as your gardener, you are under the best of care. Why has he chosen you? Why has he placed you in the position where you are? Why is he taking care of you, supplying your needs? Because he has an everlasting love and favor and mercy toward you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. And one day you'll be transplanted to that heavenly garden where there were no storms, where there will be no cutting back, where there will be no darkness, where there will be no winter time, where it will be the full shining of your Redeemer's face. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £842.65, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service and receive our friend Victoria into the church. And God willing, tomorrow we hold our 150th anniversary services when Mr. Pickett is expected to preach. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sin. 760.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.